You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 425 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live deep into the night on this Monday, and it's annual tradition. What's up, Robbie Calland? Nice to have you aboard, my friend.
Hey-o.
It's over-under day.
Yes.
Probably going to be 2 days, frankly. We'll probably break this up into two parts, but you know, for those of you unfamiliar with this particular exercise, the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook, a.k.a. the Mecca, released season win totals for every single NBA team on Sunday, and we have to talk about it because that's what we do on the podcast. So are you as excited as I am?
This is like the signal to me that the season is upon us.
It's coming along.
We can finally start spinning things ahead, looking forward, because we're done with free agency. We're done with most major trades. Doesn't seem like we're going to get a Kyrie Irving August situation like last year.
Don't say that though. You're fooling us here.
I know, but doesn't seem like we're going to get it. Cause the best bet for that was Kawhi and he got done early. So, that is why Westgate felt comfortable to give us some early August numbers. Cause they feel no more major things are going to happen. That's why they pulled them off the board. And, We can finally get going on this. Plus, we love the wagering stuff, so it's always exciting.
Yeah,
I like to find the little edges.
I got to write like three consecutive handicapping posts on Peachtree Hoops this week because it was this particular one of Westgate coming out, and then BetOnline came out for the offshore viewpoint, and then there was some playoff bets, some yes no playoff bets that were out there. So. A lot of handicapping content on the old Peachtree Hoops this week, but this is the Mecca for us. By the way, we're going to be using Westgate lines. There are other lines available. In fact, I wrote about those, as I just mentioned a second ago, earlier today, but for our purposes on this podcast, we're going to go with the Westgate lines. They're going to change, so if you're listening to this podcast, you know, in September, because you went back and found it, just consult your local spot on what the actual lines are. Because they're going to change. I mean, every year, you know, they come out, and within a couple of days or weeks, definitely a few of these are going to change. So just keep an eye out for the actual numbers. So I don't know. You ready to just dive in here? I guess we probably can
get
do
it.
All right. We're going to start in the Eastern Conference. And these are grouped by divisions. And I also have looked through to get the ESPN real plus minus perspective. So shouts to Kevin Pelton, the machine. We'll reference those as well. But the first one is the Boston Celtics, who happen to be the second highest in the entire league and the highest in the Eastern Conference at 57.5 victories.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Feels pretty closer. I mean, like, here's the thing. If you're projecting this team as healthy, you probably lean over. I mean, like, if you think everybody on that team plays 70 games, all their big guys, if you think Hayward comes back early, Kyrie, if you think everybody's back day one from game one, Kyrie and Gordon, and you think they all play 70 plus games, you probably think this is a 60 win team. And you might be right in the East. I mean, they won, what, 54-55 last year, and had some injury disasters, as everybody knows. I think it's reasonable to say a lean on the over, but I don't think I buy it strongly enough to give it out as a stone cold lock. And for those that didn't listen to this last year, this is how we will do this.
Yes,
we will give you leans for things that, you know, because we're gonna pick everything.
Absolutely,
but we'll tell you if it's a lean or if it's a lock. And a lock means you should run to your local establishment, fly to Westgate, whatever you have to do, and put your hard-earned money on it. A lean means probably stay away. And then there will be some that will downright say you should not bet this on either side.
Yeah, there are a few of those for sure.
There are a few of those. So I say my take on this is lean over if you – like, I wouldn't begrudge anybody that wanted to bet the over on this. I think it's probably just about right. I think this is about a 58-win team. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think with Boston, the number does feel right. You know, RPM says 53, but just so everybody knows, RPM is kind of designed, and most statistical projection systems are designed to bring everybody to the middle. So they're never going to treat the best teams as well as they probably should be treated, or the worst teams as poorly as they should be treated. That's just that kind of the rule with these projection models. So that wasn't a surprise to me. I'm kind of with you on the fact that if everyone's healthy, I would probably lean over. But just for a little bit of a, I don't know, counterfactual, Boston's Pythagorean win total, so what their win total was supposed to be last year by their point differentials, only 51 wins. So you're talking about a team that has to jump 7 victories. Now, is Gordon Hayward for a full season and Kyrie Irving for another part of the season worth that? I would say probably. Right. The only question for me is if they get off to a slow start. Once they get engaged and figure it all out with all this talent, I think this is a 60-win team. It's just if you're betting the under, you're really leaning on a bad first month, because if they come out of the gates hot, you're pretty much toast.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's similar to kind of what we talked about last year with the Hawks, where we said they're probably going to go over simply because they're going to be a very well-coached team, and this is on like a different level of that because they're a very talented and very well-coached team. But if you talk about outperforming expectations, under Brad Stevens, that's what the Celtics have really done year after year. You go back to the Isaiah Thomas year. Like, this is what they do. Like, they don't have those regular season lulls, per se. They don't have the number of off nights that you typically get from even good teams in this league. And I think it's part coaching and it's part personnel that are wired that way to constantly, you know, bring it in the regular season. I mentioned last year I had concerns about that in the postseason because we've seen, you know, LeBron's able to take it to a next level. Can you punch the gas? Can you find that other gear in the postseason? This year, if you're projecting health for everybody, they might actually have that gear, but they also have the depth, and they also have just the guys, the Marcus Smarts, the Jaylen Browns, the Al Horfords that just are going to give it to you every night. And so, yeah, I do think you're going to they will kind of consistently maybe outperform statistical models because those are kind of all built in.
Yeah, I mean, Boston's just – they're very deep. I mean, in addition to the starting five being absolutely loaded when healthy, you know, when your ninth best player is like Aaron Baines or Marcus Morris,
right?
That's pretty impressive. So, yes. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about two, you know, their backup guards are Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart. Those guys would be better than some starting backcourts in the league, for instance, the Orlando Magic, which we'll get to later on in the podcast.
I have strong feelings there.
Yes, me as well. But yeah, anyway, we're going to lean over. I'm not going to tell you to bet on that because it's a high number in general. I shy away from those. But yeah, that's the spot where I'm leaning over. I definitely would not bet the under. Let me just say that. I would not do that.
Yeah.
We can move on. The Toronto Raptors are very intriguing. They're actually number one in terms of RPM's projections in the East, 55 wins. The over-under is 54.5 wins, and they, of course, have Kawhi Leonard now. So what do you make of them? Because this is one of the tougher ones for me to evaluate, even if you know, they're going to be good. There's no question about that, but that's also a lot of wins.
It's a lot of wins. It's a team that has really made its mark in the regular season simply on being probably the most cohesive group in the Eastern Conference over the past 4 years. I mean, you'd have to go back to basically that 2015 Hawks team to find kind of a better chemistry group. That's what their hallmark was. That was also same thing that I just mentioned with the Celtics not being able to find another gear. The Raptors have never been able to find that gear in the postseason. This year, they've shuffled pretty much the top of the deck. You trade DeMar DeRozan, you bring in Kawhi Leonard. We have no idea what Kawhi Leonard we're getting or when Kawhi Leonard will be on the floor for them. Dwayne Casey is out. Nick Nurse is in. Nurse obviously has been there for this run as an assistant, but he's going to bring a little bit of a different vibe. He's going to change some things up. Rotations will likely be different because that every coach has ideas on what to do. And, you know, I mean, they were such a good chemistry group, and that means so much in the regular season. They're hoping that by adding a better top star, it won't matter come playoff time. But you could talk me into this team having some growing pains early. We mentioned Boston trying to get guys reintegrated. Toronto has to do that on a completely different level, and you have Kyle Lowry, who's not exactly pleased at the moment
yes.
with DeMar DeRozan being gone, and we know Kyle Lowry is an emotional player. This is one of those really strong stay-aways for me. I think I would lean under. This was a 59-win team last year. If you could guarantee me Kawhi Leonard plays 75 games, you can talk me into the over. I think they take it a little easy with him on some back-to-backs. I think this year is about trying to, you know, build something, integrate Kawhi as much as they can, convince Kawhi to stay. And I think the way to do that isn't to just, like, force him out there all the time. I think they're going to listen to Kawhi when he says, like, hey, I want, you know, let's take it easy on back-to-backs, whatever it may be. And then try to build that rapport and make a run in the postseason. And I think you could be looking at maybe a 50-win team here. I would lean under, but this is a firm stay away, because if Kawhi is Kawhi, this could be a 58-win team in the Eastern Conference, because he's that good. He's the best player in the conference.
Oh, they could win more than that, I think.
Oh, yeah.
If you told me, I mean, going back to your point, if you told me that Kawhi was healthy and guaranteed that, first of all, the number would be higher. This number is building in the Kawhi uncertainty.
That's baked in, and that's what makes it such a tough number.
Yeah, I would stay away, just like you were saying, because, you know, I think people might look at Toronto that weren't paying super close attention last year and might think that they weren't necessarily a true 59-win team, but that's not true. Their point differential was a 60-win team. Like, that was a pretty awesome regular season basketball team last year, and I mean, on paper, if you give me Kawhi 100%, they're better. But you can't assume that. So, yeah, full stay away for me. I would echo everything that you said there, basically. You know, it all comes down to Kawhi and Kyle Lowry to a certain extent, but mostly Kawhi, because I think Lowry, as long as he's going to be there, is going to play well.
He'll be a pro.
There's age stuff there, though, with him. Like, at some point, he's going to slow down. He kind of did a little bit last year, but there's some warning signs. I mean, they signed Greg Monroe today to take the Jakob Poeltl job. As like the fourth big or whatever it's going to be, and they looks like they're going to let Bebe go. So shouts to Bebe, but
for a little sweet prince.
Yeah, but yeah, I would stay away. That's probably the takeaway in this spot, is just avoid that at all costs. So we'll leave that right there. It's kind of unfair that the Atlantic Division has the three best teams in it, but they do. So sorry for Philadelphia 76ers. RPM does not like them. It's about 48 wins, but their number is 54.5 wins. And this is already one that I've actually seen discussed a lot on Twitter. Last year they won 52 games, but I think you were talking about this with someone, or somebody was that I'm remembering now, but just how hot they had to get at the end of the season. And people have sort of forgotten that. But this was kind of like a barely above 500 team for most of the year. They just got scalding hot, and now you're projecting improvement, even with, you know, guys like Ilyasova that were there for that run or not there anymore. So it's really kind of a weird, maybe interesting number.
Yeah, it's tough. I think the casual fan is going to say, like you said, 52-win team, young team. They're going to want to stay over. I would probably lean under. This is not one that I would hand out necessarily as a lock of all locks, but I think it's in the Boston range of, like, I wouldn't hate anybody betting it. I wouldn't kick that number out of bed. it's just, you know, I mean, we see this with young teams all the time, and everybody projects this linear progression. Like, okay, Joel Embiid was this in year one, he was this in year two, he's going to be this in year three. Ben Simmons was this in year one, he's going to be this in year two. You know, like, oh, Markelle Fultz's jumper's going to be fixed, he's going to be back. Like, there are so many moving parts with Philadelphia. You mentioned, I think Matt Moore brought this up when I had him on the Dime Pod this week when we were talking about stuff, and he was like, look, like, they were winning, they won like 19 in a row or something crazy like that. Like, there's like a 19 game stretch, they're just on fire, and like part of it was like Ersan Ilyasova and Marco Bellinelli, Hawks legends, catching fire, and like, okay, that seemed unsustainable. We saw that in the postseason. We saw that in the playoffs. It was not sustainable. I remember talking with Tim Bontemps at one point, who was like, oh, Marco Bellinelli is going to lose the Sixers a game in the playoffs. And he did, because he just keeps shooting.
He will shoot.
And, yeah, I mean, you look at this. They didn't do a lot. I like the Wilson Chandler pickup. I think that was a good move. But I don't think they did a ton to really, like, beef up the roster, beef up their depth significantly.
Yeah, I think they're better on paper than they were a year ago.
Yeah.
At the same time, you got a healthy Embiid all season, which I don't think you can project. People just seemingly have forgotten that Embiid was this giant injury risk. Like, I'm not sure he's, you know, I'm not sure he still is, but I'm also not sure that he isn't, if that makes sense. Like, people are just, like, assuming that he's going to play 70 games every year, and I'm not ready to go there just yet. They do have old friend Mike Muscala, friend of the podcast, in addition to Wilson Chandler. But, you know, this number bakes in some improvements, as you mentioned. Like, you kind of have to get an improved Ben Simmons. You kind of have to get an improved Markelle Fultz. You have to have Embiid play. That's a lot of ifs for me. I'm actually stronger on the under than you are. I'm not sure it's like a top five play for me, but I am pretty solid on the under. Like, I would not fault anybody for doing that. And by the way, you might lose. Like, if Embiid plays 75 games and plays well and Ben Simmons takes the next step, you might be in some trouble. But that's how these things work. Like, you have to kind of play the percentages. And for me, there's too much uncertainty to be projecting a 3-win bump given everything that happened last year.
And they're going to have to play. I mean, divisions don't mean a lot in basketball, but that does mean you play them four times.
Boston, Toronto, four times.
That means you get Boston, Toronto four times each, which means you're catching the teams you're catching three times out of the East are the worst teams comparatively to, you know, the Atlantic Division's tough. I mean, that's just the way it goes. They get a bit of a tougher draw. Now, that said, they do get the Nets and the Knicks four times. So it does kind of balance out to be the third team in there. But it's not as good as, say, being the Bucks in the Central Division. Well, Central Division's got some good teams. I guess really the Atlantic Division. If you're the Wizards or the Heat, you're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, there's some easier schedules to be had.
Southeast.
But no, I'm with you. I think Philly, this is definitely going to be a sharps versus public over-under. I think the public's going to go all over the over, and the sharp money, if there is sharp money, will be on the under for this one, I'm fairly sure. So it's just one of those pros versus Joe's spots, and I normally want to be on the pro side. I don't know about you, but it's just
that's me. Yeah.
All right, let's get some bad basketball teams. These are often more interesting than the good teams. Brooklyn Nets, 32.5. RPM loves Brooklyn. They had them at 37 wins. That seems crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that seems pretty rosy. We'll get to a weird projection when we get to the Hawks. That was when we talked about offline. I think we have not talked about on the podcast just yet. But that's one that seems nuts for me. 32.5 isn't crazy. But what do you think about the Nets?
I think it's still a pretty bad basketball team, if you ask me.
They're gonna. And by the way, this is the first time in a while they have their own pick. So if things get weird, they might have some incentive to shut it down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. The thing is, they're gonna play. I mean, you're gonna get more D'Angelo Russell, but does that make you a winning basketball team? I don't know.
Not with the way that he's played so far.
No.
At some point, he might get good, but going. You know, for all Jeremy Lin's interesting contract stuff, he's better than D'Angelo Russell at this moment. So like,
yeah, they were missing him for most of the year.
They were. I mean, they have Dinwiddie too, who was great last year. Randomly.
Yeah, are you going to see the same Dinwiddie?
I don't know. I mean, you have old friend Damari Carroll is prominently involved. They don't really have a power forward as a starter in the NBA at this moment. They have some guys that I like
Jared Allen.
I love Jared Allen. He was a guy that I
love. Caris LeVert, go blue.
Yeah, but they have a lot of good quality supporting pieces, and absolutely no one that I trust to be a legitimate dead bang starter, if that makes sense. Like, I get, who's the best player on this team? If it's the same player as last year, it's Dinwiddie. But I'm not ready to assume that's going to happen again. Maybe it will, but I mean, you have Alan Crabb, you have Damari, you have Jared Allen, you have Joe Harris. I mean, it's not Russell based on what we know. Like, I guess it could be Russell if he just suddenly breaks out, but you're banking on a lot to bet the over on this team. I know 32.5 seems kind of low, but you know, 33 wins is a pretty sizable jump. Last year they won 28 games. I think they're probably a little bit better, but not that much better.
Nah, again, this is a slight lean under, but I wouldn't spend my money gambling on the Brooklyn Nets.
That's probably for the best, considering they're also well coached. Shouts to Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is like, it's hard to put a finger on them as far as like what you're gonna get. They have the lovely New York nightlife playing to their advantage, which you can't ever forget.
I don't know. For me, if they didn't have their own pick, I'm not saying I would lean over, but I'd probably be a full stay away because they have their own pick. And, you know, when you get to March and you know you're out of it, there might be a little bit of a whispering to shut some guys down. Like, you know, as we saw with, you know, they haven't had their pick in such a long time that this needs to be a good pick for Brooklyn. Like, they really could use a top 10 talent in this next class.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'll go under for sure. I wouldn't, not a stone cold lock, but
no,
I favor that one.
We haven't gotten one yet.
Yeah, it's coming next, I think, for you.
Yes, sir.
Let's just go there now. All right, the New York Knicks. 29.5, which is might seem low to some people because the Knicks won 29 games last year, but people might forget that Kristaps Porzingis is going to be out for a while, probably half the season or more, somewhere in there. I know there's some uncertainty there, but this is a bad basketball team, flat out.
Real bad. Under. Lock it up. Knicks under. Another team that can continue to use some good players and picks because they can't go sign anybody yet. Not till next season. I mean, look, you mentioned it. There's uncertainty about Kristaps when he's going to come back. I think they are going to be wise to take their time with him. I think Mark Berman of the Post said on the Dan Patrick Show in like June or something that Christmas was a possible target date. I would be surprised if it's before New Year's.
Yeah, that seems early to me.
There were whispers when it happened that he could miss the entire season. I don't think that happens because I don't think New York can afford to punt on a full season
with that
fan base.
Yeah,
he's going to play, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's closer to the All-Star break than it is to Christmas. If it's that case, I mean, he played 48 games last year and they won 29.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think, you know, for one thing, if this exact roster was not the New York Knicks, if they were playing in Brooklyn, for instance, the number would be 3 wins less, maybe 4 wins less. I think you're definitely getting the Knicks bump here in terms of the number itself, because this is a bad team even with Porzingis. I mean, if you told me he's going to play 80 games, it'd be over 29.5, but they'd be a low 30s win team probably. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, here's the thing is last year people kind of got – there's some fugazi early on. They were like a 500 team.
They hung around for a while. That's true.
Into December. But then even with Kristaps for the last – he got knocked out in February. So for the last like 2 months with Kristaps, I think their last 24 games with Kristaps, they went 7-17.
And that's kind of what this team is, I think, even with him. So
that's a bad basketball team.
No, this is the best play so far. It just is.
So I think just rock solid on the under here. I think it's 25-26 win team.
It's a bad. I'm looking at the roster. This is a bad roster. I mean, who's the best player on the Knicks? I'm gonna keep doing this trope, but who's the best player on the Knicks without Porzingis? I don't even know who it is. I mean, is it Enes Kanter?
Old friend Tim Hardaway Jr.?
It's one of them, and they're both heavily paid. I mean, Courtney Lee?
strongly financially stable.
I like Courtney Lee a lot. He's not the best player. I mean, God bless Kevin Trey Knox, Burke, who looked good in Summer League, but Kevin Knox is not going to be a thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, like, Kevin Knox and Frank are not winning you games right now. No. I'm 100% here for the Mitchell Robinson experience.
Same. Agreed.
He is not going to win you back. He's going to lose you basketball games. That young man is going to make some significant defensive errors. This is a disaster of a defensive team behind Frank, which kind of sucks because he's a lot of fun on that end. But behind him, nobody can play defense when Kristaps is out. I mean, seriously, like, you're playing Ennis at the five, defensive presence.
Yeah, under. The longer we talk about this, it's even stronger in my mind. This is, I think, I'm just going to say this. This is the worst team in the East.
Ooh!
That's my hot take. And I disagree with that. I don't think you agree. That's fine. I think this is the worst team in the East this year. I think they might win, if they're careful with Porzingis, they might win 22. It might be real easy win. I'll say that. I'm pretty low on the Knicks if you can't figure that out by now. But
yeah, I'm in. I'm in on Knicks under. Lock it up.
Lock it in. All right, let's go to the Central. And a team. I have thoughts on the Indiana Pacers because
please do.
They're at 47.5. RPM says 45.5. Last year they won 48 games, but they got a little bit lucky to get there at about a 45 win point differential. This is one of my favorite bets, and it's the under, which I think people will be surprised by.
No, I like it.
I don't think the Pacers were a 48 win basketball team last year.
Overachievers.
Yeah, that's fine. And listen, I'm not hating on them. This is a playoff team still in the East. Sure. But I don't think anybody that watched them last year thought this is going to be a team that improved or even necessarily stabilized. Shouts to Victor Oladipo. He was great last year. But are they – I mean, is Indiana better than they were last year? I just don't see that as a likely outcome. I guess it's possible. They add Aaron Holiday. They add Tyreek Evans.
Yeah.
Which is more important. But, I mean, I just don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm happy to be wrong. And if everything works out perfectly and they get the last year version of Tyreek, I probably look stupid here, but sure. I just don't see it.
Yeah, it's not a lock for me, but I do think I lean under just because I think this is a team that did overachieve. I think you got about as close to peak Oladipo as you're going to get for a full season. I mean,
yeah, I can't imagine he actually improved. I mean, that's not a shot at him. He was awesome last year.
He was amazing. I think at best, if you're a Pacers fan, you're hoping for a plateau season from Oladipo. But nobody's going to be surprised by the Pacers this year. Like, you're not going to be they're not the underdog anymore. You're not going to sleepwalk through this team because you know they're good. I don't know. I mean, you have to really be a believer in Tyreek Evans.
I mean, they're deeper now than they were because of Tyreek and because of Dougie McBuckets, who they added, and Kyle Quinn. Like, they added some quality rotation guys.
They did.
But I'm not sure that makes up for what I expect to be at least a leveling off or a slight regression from Victor and, you know, Bogdanović and, you know, the god Thad Young. You and I both love Thad Young. But at some point, he's going to probably start slowing down a little bit. He's a little bit older.
Entering year 11. Yeah. My son, DeMontis.
Your boy, TJ Leaf.
Oh, TJ Leaf.
He probably isn't going to play, to be honest.
But will he crack the rotation? That's the fun question.
I would say no, but hey. Probably not. Maybe he will.
Probably not. Nice guy, though.
Yeah, you talk to TJ. He's TJ. Read that. Read that on dimebag.com.
Read that. TJ Leaf profiles. that's what we do. The interesting thing with him was that he like understood, like, that he's like just fighting for a rotation spot. Like, he wasn't trying to be like, yeah, I'm gonna start next year, which is always nice.
It's always good when guys understand their role.
Just understand your role. Team. Yeah, which it's a lot of what we talked about is like learning the importance of that. Look, this is a good roster. Like, this is a solidly deep team. I would probably lean under. I don't think I'm as into it as you. Because there is the chance that if everybody's pretty much the same as last year in the East, they could do it. They could be a 49-50 win team. But again, I think so much went right for them. And injury stuff went right. None of their major guys really went down. They got so much out of pretty much everyone. Like, it was an impressive coaching job from Nate McMillan, which I don't think anybody saw coming.
No.
I think this is a regression candidate, even with a deeper roster. Yeah, I think this could be 46, 47 win team coming in just under that number. But again, I a couple things go right again. It's a 48 win team, so I'm not locking it in. But yeah. I do agree. I think the lean is under.
Yeah, I'm not as strong about that one as I am about the Knicks. If you're arguing in favor of the Pacers, one last thing. They got rid of Lance Stephenson, who played 82 for them last year.
That's an improvement.
That will going from Lance Stephenson to the combination of Tyreek Evans and Dougie McBuckets is a massive upgrade. So if you're trying to argue in favor of Indiana, I would start there, frankly.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to old pal Mike Budenholzer, friend of the program and the Milwaukee Bucks. 46.5 wins. That's interesting on a number of levels. Last year, just for a little bit of a recap there, 44 wins with the combination of Jason Kidd and Joe Prunty. So I'm going to go over because Mike Budenholzer is good at this job.
He sure is. I think that's right. I think an over lean. I mean, look, this roster is kind of – this roster can be a mess.
Oh, it is a mess. Like, full stop. Yeah. And by the way, I mean, this is what they did in the offseason. By the way, they got a heist on Brook Lopez, which really helps. He's very, very useful and very cheap. But they overpaid Ersan. They drafted Dante DiVincenzo, who probably isn't going to help them a ton as a rookie. They signed Pat Connaughton.
By the way, very Bud pick, by the way.
Dante?
White Dante.
I mean, everything about this offseason has Bud's stamp on it. I know he's not in charge of player personnel, but Ersan for more money than God, Brook Lopez, Dante DiVincenzo, and Pat Connaughton. Like, that's an extremely Bud offseason.
Shout out to White Dante, though.
I mean, yeah.
Bomani Jones special.
I have thoughts on Dante, but it's fine. He's fine.
Yeah, look, I mean, Giannis is great. Chris Middleton, all-star season coming in the East.
That's your guy.
Write it down. Chris Middleton, all-star. Book it.
I mean,
he's very good at basketball.
He really is. And,
like, he was a borderline all-star last year.
This team on paper is better than they were last year. And then you throw in the fact that they have a top 10 coach replacing one of the worst five coaches in the league.
Five? Yes. I was about to say bottom five. I mean, look, if you think, look, as long, like, the question here is, can Bud get anything out of Eric Bledsoe?
Who was an atrocity in the playoffs.
An abject disaster. Yep. Like, one of the worst players on the basketball court at all times, no matter who was around him. There was a reason legitimate reason to say, should Dele be playing over Bledsoe, like, at 30 minutes a game?
Whew.
Not good. Can he get anything out of Bledsoe? Where does he find the shooting? Ersan will help. Can Bud take... The real question is, can Bud take Hawks University North? Can he make Tony Snell better? Can he make Middleton better? Can he make
Malcolm Brogdon? Like,
Malcolm Brogdon's, you know, like, really any of these
DJ
guys.
Wilson.
DJ.
Go Blue.
DJ Wilson, Sterling Brown. Like, what can you get out of any of these guys? If Hawks University travels north to Milwaukee, then I think the over is solidly in play. I would lean over again. Like, there's so much dysfunction with this team last year. The guys hated playing for Jason Kidd, like half the team at least. Like, Giannis is so young and innocent and beautiful that he doesn't let that bother him. But, like, being in that locker room for a weekend in the early season, it was weird. It was weird vibes. Jason Kidd's a weird dude. And doesn't relate well to the youngsters.
Yeah,
at
I
all
mean,
times. It was a dysfunctional group at times. But if Bud can bring some of these guys together, and, like, it's a weird group, it's a weird locker room. But again, like, if you can get playoff Thon Maker half the season, even that's big because he's great in the postseason.
And you also have Brook Lopez now, who is a lot better at basketball than the guys that
had
at center before. Yeah. So,
better than Greg Monroe.
I personally think Milwaukee's better than Indiana. That's not a huge hot take, but I would.
It's a warm take.
It's a little bit warm. I think
the water's starting to bubble.
Yeah, I mean, I think Giannis is better than Victor, which is not a huge shot at Victor or anything.
That's not a hot take.
And the rest of the roster, I mean, maybe it slightly favors Indiana, but all due respect to Nate McMillan, who just got an extension. I think Bud's a better coach than Nate McMillan. So
sure.
And the upgrades on the roster are real, and Chris Middleton is better than the rest of anybody else that's on Indiana's roster too. So, yeah, I like the Bucks to win the division, and you know, not a huge What's run that? To the window overplay, but an overplay for me.
What is that division bet? I know I dropped it in here the other day. Can I find it now? That's the question.
I'm gonna let you look for that. Let's talk about the Pistons, and then you can break in when we.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It.
Cool.
Because I might like Milwaukee. We'll talk after the podcast.
Detroit basketball.
The Pistons are weird, man. 37.5 seems right. They won 39 last year. They now have Blake Griffin for a full season. Detroit's roster is not that much different than it was a year ago. They added a couple guys who were going to play this year in the second round: Kyrie Thomas, Bruce Brown. They signed two Hawks legends: Jose Calderon and Zaza Pachulia to 1-year deals. And Glenn Robinson III, go Blue. There's a lot going on here for me with the Pistons. But, I mean, 37.5 sounds right. I am leaning over because they're going to try. and they have Blake for a full season. That's kind of the only. That's kind of my only rationale there.
I gave this out.
Oh hey. Oh yeah.
Over.
Give it to me.
Over.
Gave it out. I like it.
Winners. Lock it up. This team that won 39 games last year.
It's a weirdly, like, I'm actually suspicious by this number being so low. It kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah, it's spooky, but, like, here's the thing. They don't, like, they get to play Cleveland now a bunch. And that's no longer a bad thing.
Here's an argument. This is probably going to sell your point. Why wouldn't this team be better than last year? Like, they won 39 games last year. They have to
Reggie
be
worse. Jackson should play? Right. Reggie Jackson, like, should play. They didn't have a point guard for half the year.
There's nothing on paper that says this team's going to be worse than last year. Nothing.
Like, Drummond and Blake together isn't an ideal thing in the modern NBA, but it's not a bad thing. Like, I don't think it works in the playoffs against the teams in the East that are better than them.
Yeah, no.
And that's going to be kind of fun to watch when they're both bricking free throws.
I guess they had Tobias Harris a lot last year.
Tobias Harris is a good basketball player.
Blake's still better, but it's not a huge gap. Looking at the roster from last year, like, the only guy they really lost from – there's nothing – they didn't really lose anything. Like,
no.
Less – I don't know why this is a good thing. I guess they lost Anthony Tolliver, your friend and mine, Anthony Tolliver. That's their biggest loss.
As a glue guy.
No, that actually matters. He was good last year.
That does matter. He's good. That's a 40-win basketball team for me. Like, I think they're closer to 500 than they are to this number.
I agree.
When it's all said and done, I mean, like, Avery Bradley was bad.
Yeah, you hear the name of Avery Bradley, you might get excited, but he was not very good.
He was real bad. Look, if you get a healthy Reggie Jackson, your boy Luke Kennard.
I still believe
slightly better. That, yeah, absolutely.
It's he's going to get killed forever because of the pick, but he can play.
Yes, he can. He can knock down threes too, which is desperately needed on this team. But yeah, I mean, like, for whatever reason, I still believe in Stanley Johnson. Despite all evidence to the contrary, I can't help it. He seems like he's my kind of guy. he seems like he should be able to, like, tap into some Marcus Smart energy.
Yeah, at some point. I'm trying to think of the way they lose this bet. I think it's the only way they lose this bet is if Blake just, like, is Blake and loses 50 games. Like, he just doesn't play.
Yeah.
If Blake plays most of the season, they're going over. I can't imagine they don't go over.
Yeah. Give it to me.
Yeah, over. Lock it in. I'm with you. I wasn't as sold, but now I'm looking at this roster closer. I'm thinking, yeah,
I couldn't figure it out. So I'm in. Let's go over.
Yep, over it is. All right, let's go to Cleveland. The Hawks fans will have interest in this, obviously.
Yeah.
With the top 10 pick, hanging in the balance, protected for Cleveland. The number is 30.5.
That's low.
Seemed low. It does, because they're going to try, at least by all accounts. But the caveat to that is maybe Dan Gilbert wakes up sometime in January and it's like, oh my God, we need to keep this pick, and sells off. Because that might happen.
Yeah, but you can win 35 games and still do that.
I'm kind of with you. I think this is an over lean for me. It's over. I'm okay with that. I just my worry is, I think there's a reason they signed Kevin Love before the deadline to be able to trade him. I'm not saying they're going to do that, but I think they would at least explore it if things don't go well. They did add David Nwaba, who I like a lot.
Love David Watt. By the way, it would be the most Dan Gilbert to have Kevin Love sign his contract in front of, like, all the workers in the arena, only to deal him at the deadline.
I mean, it's the Blake Griffin. It's all. It's the exact same thing. It's the Blake Griffin. Yes. We want to retire your number, whole thing, and then deal him. But I mean, yeah, I'm with you. If you told me that they don't sell, it's an over for me. My only worry is that they look at this team and somebody wakes up and just, like, why are we doing this? Why are we trying to win? But George Hill can still play. You know, I'm a little bit worried about Colin Sexton getting the ball in his hands a lot, because I think he's going to be bad as a rookie, because rookie point guards are bad.
That's correct.
That has to be said. They still have Jordan Clarkson, who is bad.
It's Jordan Clarkson time.
It's Jordan Clarkson time. Trademarked by you.
All the time. That's correct.
But this is a team with a bunch of professional basketball players on it. George Hill, Kyle Korver, J.R. Smith, Larry Nance, Tristan Thompson, even Channing Frye, for some reason, signed there again.
Yeah.
David Nwaba, they have guys that can play.
Yeah, I mean, like, here's the thing. I think this team could, like, I don't know. Like, I think by the trade deadline, even if they sell some pieces off, they might be in the mid-20s at wins, and then they just coast in.
What would surprise you more, 25 wins or the playoffs?
25 wins.
So, yeah, I mean, you're definitely leaning over. I think I probably agree with you. I'm not picking them to make the playoffs. I would not pick that.
No, but I think it's
inconceivable.
I just think this 35-win team.
I hope you're right. As someone who's covering the Hawks,
yeah,
it'll be very close.
Even factoring everything in. It seems like Gilbert has enough hubris to try and make the playoffs the year after LeBron.
He's clearly trying to. They haven't sold anybody.
I think they would have to be real bad by January.
We should
if they're in the hunt, I think they go for it.
We should also assume that Rodney Hood's on this team. I can't imagine he won't be. He's not yet on this team. But I just don't see a way that he doesn't stay there because no one has any money to offer him. Right. Like, he might take the qualifying offer, but he's going to be on Cleveland's roster. And he's just okay, but that's another guy who can play.
That's correct.
So, all right, we'll leave that there. It's an over, to be sure. All right, one more team in the Central, and that is the Chicago Bulls, a weird roster, 27.5. Defense optional would be something I would say about the Chicago Bulls. I mean, let's just talk about who they added. Zach LaVine for a lot of money, Jabari Parker for a lot of money. Yep. They drafted my son, Wendell Carter Jr. from Pace Academy, local
the
kid.
God.
Chandler Hutchinson, I like a lot.
My guy. Shout out to that push, Chandler.
That's true. I mean, this is a team that has already produced a lot of hot takes in both directions. There are people that think they're going to be a fringe playoff team, which I think is insane. And there are people that think they're the worst team in the league. I know your friend of mine, Jeff Siegel, has already publicly stated this is his favorite bet of them all on the under. He absolutely is talking about driving from San Diego to Vegas to bet the under on this. I kind of am closer to with Jeff on this one.
I think I lean over. This team's going to try. Now, again, the question is how much of last year. Now, the thing with this, and it's similar to the Knicks piece, is they went on like a really weird hot streak early in the season.
Yeah, they were atrocious for every minute of the season except for that like 12-game span when Mirotić went insane.
Yeah, so that's the question. Is like you add, and the thing is like Jabari.
Yeah, here's the thing. This is all going to come down to the evaluation of Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker. If you like those additions, you probably like the over. If you don't, like me, I'm terrified of this team defensively. It's the worst team in the league.
Oh, they're going to be real bad defensively. And like, look, I don't know. I mean, like, is Chris Dunn decent again or is he bad again? I loved Chris Dunn coming out of the draft.
I like Chris Dunn still.
I'm going to say I think he'll be good again.
But here are your backup point guards.
Year one in the league was not good.
You ready for this? You have Cam Payne.
Yes.
You have Antonio Blakeney.
Yes.
And you have Ryan Arcidiacono. So if Chris Dunn is either hurt or bad,
that's correct.
There's nothing else.
Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine, a point guard, we know that does not work. Ask anyone who covered the Wolves when he was in Minnesota playing point guard.
Yeah. No, look, this is a bizarre team that could go so wrong. I don't know. Just don't bet this. Like,
yeah,
I would.
No, I'm with you. Stay
this
away.
This is such a stay away because here's the thing. Like, they could be perfectly okay. Like, they could be a 30-win team. That would not surprise me. The playoffs is patently insane.
That's not happening.
No but, chance. Like, we talk about, like, Mirotić got super hot and they were good. Like, Jabari could do that for 2 weeks.
Oh,
he's capable of that. Yeah. Like, I love Wendell. I think of the rookies, he's probably the one that helps you win the most right now outside of, like, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Luka Doncic. Like,
I'm okay
he's,
with that.
He's probably your third best, like, win now, actually help you on both ends of four type guy. Like, he's a monster. Love Wendell. Chandler Hutchinson's a very good offensive player on a team full of them. Like, Laurie was great as a rookie. This team's going to be fun, 27 to 28 wins. I think this number's right. Like, I think this is a fun team to watch, excruciatingly frustrating if you're a Bulls fan because they're going to lose just some disastrous meltdowns on the defensive end late at night, late in the games. Like, they're just going to have, I would say, five losses that just murder the soul of Bulls fans.
Because somebody just Brunelli, by the way.
Forget Tom.
He's going to be living and dying with this basketball
team. Ricky O'Donnell.
Yep. Robert Mays. Everyone. All the Bulls fans.
Brian Schroeder.
Yeah, Brian Schroeder for sure. Legend.
Black Dre.
Oh, God. Black Dre. Oh, I forgot. Oh, that's great. Let's just leave that there. One trivia question before we move off the Bulls. Who led the Bulls in minutes last year? I know the answer. I'm asking you.
Is it Bobby Portis? Chris Dunn?
Nope. It is former Atlanta Hawks great Justin Holiday.
Oh, your boy.
I love Justin Holiday. I always will. Still he's still
so,
on this team.
Still so mad.
Which still so mad. People have just forgotten about Justin Holiday. He's on this team. He led the team in minutes last year.
That's great.
No one knows anything about him. Anyway, that's my guy. Shout out to Justin Holiday.
Yeah, he is.
All right, let's get to the Southeast. Your home of the Atlanta Hawks. We'll do them last. But, man, this is ugly in a lot of ways. The Wizards.
Not good.
Wizards are sitting at the top at 44.5 wins. RPM says 43.6. They had Dwight Howard on the roster, which is always important to remember this time of year. I mean, what do you make of the Wizards? This is a flat-out dead bang stay away for me. I would come nowhere near this.
Do you remember last year when I said the Wizards 8-1 to win the East to earn the top seed in the East was a good pick?
I think I might have agreed with you, but I do remember
you
that.
Did. You did. It's good value.
Didn't go well.
We're not betting on the Wizards this year, folks.
No, not at all.
We're doing nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Okay, in addition to Dwight, they traded for Austin Rivers. That was the Marcin Gortat trade. They also signed Jeff Green for the minimum, and they drafted Troy Brown, who I like. This is a weird basketball team, and it overcomes down to the combination of John Wall and Dwight Howard. What is John Wall, and how often does John Wall play?
Yes.
And which Dwight Howard do we get?
Yep. I mean, like, if you think John Wall and Bradley Beal stay healthy, I think you're on the over.
I mean, talent-wise, this team is better than 44 wins.
This team talent-wise should be a 50-win team.
Or what's close to this... it? I mean, they have a good starting five that makes sense together. I mean, I've taken plenty of shots at Dwight, but, you know, Dwight, the player, is useful when he wants to be.
Yes.
And on the bench, you have some quality depth here. You have Austin Rivers, who can actually play. You have Kelly Oubre. You have Jeff Green, who was not terrible last year. It wasn't great, but he was not horrible for your ninth man.
Right.
Jan Mahimi is not terrible. He's overpaid.
Making too much money.
Yeah, he's overpaid. But, you know, Thomas Satoransky, like, this is a team that has professional basketball players on it. It's just, do they hate each other in the locker room? Which, that's a big question.
Strong possibility.
And John Wall wasn't good last year by his standards.
No, not even when he was playing. John Wall never comes into training camp in shape.
I mean, we saw the picture that made the rounds.
Not one time. Looked like Andre Drummond at USA basketball camp. Like, here's the thing. John Wall does not suffer from round face syndrome, unlike our friend like Eric Gordon. But it looked like it in that USA basketball picture.
It was not an encouraging thing for the Wizards.
Was not. It was funny. I was actually out in Vegas at that time when that picture dropped doing something completely different. And I was with a bunch of the shoe guys. And listen to some of the details on, like, John Wall's Adidas contract. He, like, worked in and out to that Adidas contract. He made sure that they took away the incentives for, like, games played, and he got it, like, fully guaranteed. And then, like, 2 weeks later is when he had surgery.
Ooh.
After he signed it. Apparently Adidas wasn't super thrilled with Mr. Wall.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes, that went over well.
Yeah, he's savvy. He's nothing if not savvy, but durable is not a word you usually use. Man, by the way,
go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to work back to divisions.
I just refuse to bet this team anyway.
No, don't. You shouldn't. Like, I think we've learned over the course of the last 3 years, just don't bet them. It just doesn't go well. You can't figure out what's going on in this locker room. Until it's going so poorly that it is a moot point. By the way, going back to our Bucks-Pacers question. Pacers, even odds to win the Central, the Bucks are 11-10. So
basically not a hot take at all. They're
cold. not even remotely warm.
I wish I was warmer on that one. That's unfortunate. We'll have to keep that. We'll have to monitor that at a few different locations in the future.
Yeah, that's Westgate.
Yeah. Okay. That's
the Wizards. Wizards 5-7 to win the Southeast.
Oh, I hate that a lot.
9-5 for our next team, the Heat.
Yeah. And by the way, RPM is picking the Heat. RPM has 45 wins for Miami and 44 for Washington. So that's something to keep in mind. The number, the over-under number is 41.5 for the Heat. Another very weird basketball team. But they won 44 a year ago. And I'm not sure why they're supposed to be worse. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's one of those teams where I just don't get it. Like Miami's not fun at all, really, in my opinion. But they don't really lose anything.
Mm-mm.
So it's like, why would they be 3 wins worse? And I don't know. I mean, they're very well coached. They have a lot of depth. You know, last year they got a Deion Waiters injury that may have actually helped them because he's not great. But everybody else that, you know, their top 10 guys, I'm looking at it now, the only guy who isn't still on the roster at this moment is Dwayne Wade, who is either going to sign or retire, probably. Yep. So, and then you throw in Bam Adebayo. Like, this is basically the same basketball team. Like, why would they be worse? I don't really know why.
Yeah, I think I lean over. Not sure I'd lock it up because they are, like, a key injury away from being in some trouble. But like you said, like, they don't have, like, that guy. Like, they're basically, like, if Dragic goes down, they're in some trouble.
He's the only guy on the team that they can't lose.
Him, everybody else is like cogs in a wheel.
They've got like 11 guys who can play.
Yeah, like I like Josh Richardson.
Love Josh Richardson.
He was fun last year.
He's very good.
Not like, super high on Tyler Johnson.
No, that's a bad contract, but he's not a terrible player. He's fine.
No, he's not. So, yeah, I mean, I think this number is where it is because I think the season ended on such a weird note with the Whiteside stuff. I think people are maybe overreacting to that.
It's Bam time.
How important he is. If you deal Whiteside, I don't think this team gets much worse.
Oh, they would get better. I'm pretty confident, actually. But
free Bam.
Free Bam, and then you play Olynyk at center and just have fun.
Oh, KO. No, and by the way, Olynyk was great last year.
He was. He's good.
Low-key, very good.
I would not bet on the Heat, but I definitely would not bet against the Heat.
Lean over. Don't begrudge anybody that buys in on this.
Yep, that sounds about Hornets. Right. Let's go to the Hornets. The Hornets. 35.5. RPM says 38. Speaking of teams that are kind of the same, but they do lose Dwight. Which
addition by subtraction?
Dwight was sneaky okay last year on the court.
He was.
They have Miles Bridges, who I like in the future, but you know is a rookie. And the big thing, in my opinion, in terms of their actual roster for this year, is adding Tony Parker because they were awful at backup point guard last year. They had basically no one. Tony Parker's kind of done, but at the same time, he's not absolutely terrible. So that really helps them. This is another team that just has a bunch of guys who are okay and nobody aside from Kemba Walker that really inspires you.
Yeah, this all comes down to – this is a stay away for me, and it's because it all comes down to do they move Kemba at the trade deadline?
I think as presently constructed, this is a better team than 35.5 would indicate. I'm with you. That kind of bakes in that. And I think, you know, they've also been kind of cursed injury-wise. Like they had some really ill-timed injuries at various points.
Batum hasn't stayed healthy.
But they're not going to rebuild. They
MKG.
Refuse. So they're going to try
Michael's,
to win.
Michael's not going to completely punt, but the question is, you know, Kupchak's there now. Can he sell him on, let's move Kemba, let's acquire some stuff, let's try to get out from this deal? Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do at the deadline. Kemba rumors are not going to stop. Mainly because the Knicks are going to be involved in those all year.
But you don't sign Tony Parker and then trade Kemba Walker. You know what I mean?
I mean, you wouldn't think, but it's also insurance.
Yeah,
you could also spin it as well. At least we have this guy to continue competing. We get a young guy in. Whatever.
There's nothing fun about Charlotte.
No,
I'm
no,
sorry.
Miles,
all my Charlotte
Miles Bridges is the most fun thing, and Kemba like. And I like Miles Bridges. I think he's going to be better in the pros than he was at Michigan State, which happens a lot with Michigan State guys. Shouts to Izzo.
And I will be the first to tell you that I don't know too much about James Borrego, the new head coach of the Hornets. Nope. Perhaps he's good. If he's good, then they'll probably go over. And if he is a first-time coach that struggles, they're going to be bad. So there you go. I don't have too much on the Hornets. It's one of those things where, like, that's this whole division is kind of filled with teams that are kind of like that. But those top three, especially Wizards, Heat, and Hornets, good luck. They're really tough to peg on an annual basis. All right, let's get to the two bad teams. The Orlando Magic, 31.5.
Under.
Yeah. No, it's
sorry. This is my lock of locks.
I'm okay with your excitement level because they don't have any guards, Robbie. That's a problem.
This is my lock of locks. DJ Augustine playing 48 a night.
I mean, okay, let's just
what are we doing
here? Let's talk about their guards. Here's the list at this moment in time of their perimeter options: DJ Augustine, Jerian Grant, Isaiah Briscoe on a non-guarantee, and that's the list. Mm-hmm. Then you have Evan Fournier, who is good but isn't capable of playing point guard. So, and then
Terrence Ross
is more of a three. Melvin Frazier is a rookie and definitely more of a three. Jonathan Simmons is a three. Like, they don't have any guards. It's actually kind of amazing what they've done with this roster.
It's almost like they forgot about two-fifths of the roster.
I mean, shouts to Danny LaRue, who always mentions this, but, like, the one thing you can't have is not have a point guard, and they don't have one.
No. Okay, so here's my question. It was the Orlando Magic team that won 25 games last year. How are they 7 games better? In what world?
I totally agree. And even if you love Mohamed Bamba, which I don't think I do necessarily, good prospect. But at the same time, I don't think anyone thinks he's not going to be that guy who like wins you games as a rookie.
No, that's not going to happen. Horrendous mistakes.
And same with Elfrid Payton isn't very good, but he's better than Isaiah Briscoe, and he's better than Jerian Grant. So like.
I don't know what we're doing here.
Yeah, the number seems absolutely absurd. I guess maybe
how much are you buying it? Aaron Gordon is God now? What are we doing?
Gordon missed 25 games last year. Maybe that's it. I mean, Jonathan Isaac missed a lot of time. Maybe they're banking on him being better, but not 7 wins better. It just seems crazy.
7 wins. 7
they're
wins
more
better.
More likely to be the worst team in the East than they are to go over, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Lock it up. This is my lock of locks.
I mean,
hammer it. This will probably be a double unit.
I bet it falls though. I can't imagine.
No doubt, get it early.
Interest on Orlando. You know what I mean?
No, I bet there'll be some sharps on it.
Yeah, so do that quickly if you want to bet that. That would be my advice on the
hammer.
Magic.
Hammer.
Robbie's been very clear. All right, it's time to go to the Hawks. This is the main event, of course. This is the Locked On Hawks podcast. After all, the number at Westgate is 23.5. We should at least say, for purposes of the Hawks, it's 26.5 offshore. So that might be a little bit of a window there. RPM says 26. Last year they won 27.
Wait, what?
No, sorry. Last year they won. Sorry. Last year's Pythagorean win total was 27. They won 24. Yeah, man. The Hawks. The first thing I'll say about the Hawks, before we don't get too deep into this, is a lot of this depends on A, what you think of Trae Young, and B, how much they give the keys to Trae Young. Because, as we mentioned earlier with Colin Sexton, rookie point guards are bad. There's been like 3 in the last 15 years that weren't bad as rookies.
And one of them is Ben Simmons, who was a second year guy.
Yeah, Ben Simmons, Chris Paul.
Hall of Famer.
I mean, that's kind of it. I mean, of guys who are legitimately good. Obviously, there are guys who are better than others as rookies.
Yeah.
But, like, legitimately plus helpful players as rookies at the point guard spot. Even the guys who end up being really good are not good as rookies. Nope. So you have that. Plus you have, I mean, you have Jeremy Lin, who I think they're going to play. But at the same time, they'll probably play him with Trae Young some. It's a weird calculus. And, you know, throw that into the point where the Hawks, in addition to a couple of other teams, have the incentive to be bad again. And they have their own pick. They're still in the middle of this rebuild. So, complicated factors. So, I mean, I'll let you start. I know you like a certain side. I'm less convinced than you are, but please fire away.
And take the offshore number. Let's go shopping.
Yeah, folks. If you can get the 26.5, that's definitely an under.
Let's go shopping. Like, what are we doing here? 26? Like, this team won multiple games last year they shouldn't have because Bud is a very good coach.
And because Bud was really trying to win for no reason.
And, like,
April.
Spitefully so. Like, he's like that late Boston win.
The late Boston win, the game against Phoenix when Torian Prince was still in the game in the fourth quarter and they beat Phoenix in April.
Yeah.
And hit the game winner. Yeah, there's a few of those.
Spiteful Bud is just winning games. Lloyd Pierce won't do that. Lloyd Pierce is on board.
You would think.
I'm not saying Lloyd Pierce is not going to be a good coach. I think he could very well be a very good coach in this league. However, I think he is on board with the mission, and the mission is we play the youngsters.
And you have to assume that he is not as good as Bud. He might be. I mean, mm-hmm. who knows? But you cannot assume a first-time head coach is going to be an upgrade on Budenholzer.
So I think, look, last year they were playing an awful lot of Ersan, playing a lot of Marco, sometimes helped the tank. But they're just gonna dump the young guys out there and let them learn. Like, that's what they did in Philly. That's where Lloyd comes from. He's guided teams through really rough years. He knows what it's like. I think this is closer. I think 20 wins could be what we see this year out of Atlanta. I think it's going to be fun. But like you said, Trae Young, first off, the people know my feelings on Trae Young.
you're not a huge fan.
People know my feelings on Trae Young. I think Trae Young is going to be a perfectly fine player in this league. Like, I don't want people to think, like, people got mad at me for saying, like, Isaiah Thomas might be a ceiling. When, like, Isaiah Thomas, pre-hip injury, had a pretty tremendous little NBA career going for himself. Like, he was in line for quite the contract. He was an all-star 1 year at his peak. I think you could see Trae Young get to that level at some point if provided the proper supporting cast and he continues to develop as a more efficient scorer of the basketball. However, he's not going to be good this year. He's going to take really bad shots. He's not going to be better than Dennis.
He's a rookie point guard. It's just not.
He's not going to be better than Dennis. Dennis was awful last year.
Well, yeah, we'll actually talk about that when we get to the West. But RPM views Dennis as an overall negative, which is kind of staggering. Like, the Thunder projection dropped when they added Dennis, which is kind of crazy to think about. But I'm with you. I mean, you can't expect him as a rookie to be better than Dennis Schroeder.
No.
I think. Go ahead.
No, it's just, I mean, like, his passing is very good, but also very dangerous. He has very good vision. His size sometimes gets him into trouble trying to make passes he, like, thinks he can make. He throws a lot of weird, like, loopy things over his head. Those get intercepted a lot in the NBA. He also just makes bad decisions sometimes. That's what rookie point guards do. I like Dennis Smith Jr. a lot. Dennis Smith Jr. was atrocious last year at times. I think he's better than Trae Young. I think Trae Young will be worse than Dennis Smith Jr. was last year. That's probably not good. He's going to get swallowed up sometimes. We saw that against Frank in Summer League. We saw it against, who's our guy? Grizzlies. Help me.
Oh, Javon Carter.
Thank you, Javon Carter. I was trying to say Jaron. That's not right. Javon Carter, he's going to face guys like that on more than like half the time, and it's going to be a struggle for him at times. He's going to have to learn. We're going to watch the learning curve in real time of him learning how to deal with those kind of defensive presences.
I cannot wait for Hawks fans to hear you say that Dennis Smith Jr. is better than Trae Young, because that's not going to go over well. You're going to hear about that. I'm looking forward to that.
All right.
I'm just saying, warning right now. You're going to hear about that. But no, it's fine. He's going to be bad as a rookie. That's my bigger takeaway for the purposes of this podcast. That's what happens. It's not, and that's, again, not a shot at Trae Young, because almost every rookie point guard, even guys drafted in the top five, is bad as a rookie. That's just what
happens. Also, I would like to pose this question. Any team that can just eat $28 million is not going to be good.
Shouts to Carmelo Anthony.
They're not going to be anywhere close to good.
I will say this.
And they're not trying to be good.
That's actually where I was going. What I will say is, if
they're not adding help at any point in this season.
If you said
I think Jeremy Lin gets traded before the deadline.
That wouldn't surprise me. If you said to Lloyd Pierce, here is the Hawks roster as currently constructed, win as many games as you possibly can and don't worry about the future, they would go over. I'm very confident in that. If they leaned heavy on Jeremy Lin and Kent Bazemore and Torian Prince and John Collins and Dwayne Dedman and Alex Lynn and really didn't care about the future, they would go over. They wouldn't be good, but they would go over 23.5.
Yes.
I'm very confident in that. But they'll make. I'm pretty sure they're going to trade one of these vets, if not more than one. And those vets that I'm talking about are Jeremy Lin, Kent Bazemore, and Dwayne Dedman.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys, it would surprise me if all three of those guys were still on the roster in March.
Oh, yeah.
Because why would they be? They're right. All, I mean, Bazemore has another year after this, but both Lin and Dedman are expiring, and they would have some value to a team that's trying to win. So why wouldn't you try to market those guys? So anyway, all that to say, I'm definitely not leaning as far as you are into the under because it's a really low total. 23.5 is not a lot.
It's super low. But this is me betting BC UMass under 39.5, baby.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I love the sweat.
I see your angle completely. I would not advocate betting the over. I do think if I had the gun in my head, I'd probably pick 24, 25 wins, which is a slight over. But that isn't like a rousing endorsement of, I mean, for me to be comfortable with telling people to wager or advising people to wager, I got to be 3-4 wins over or under either way. And I'm not that, you know what I mean?
Right.
If I felt like it's going to be a half win or, you know, or one win either way, that's not enough to actually, you know, invest. And I think I'd probably project at this moment in time, 24, 25 wins. And that's just kind of where it is. So, by the way, right in between the Westgate number and the BetOnline number. So,
oh yeah, I mean, like this run is one of those where like I strongly advocate it if you can get one of these offshore numbers of 25 or higher.
Oh,
Westgate is wise to put it this low because I don't think people will be willing to dip there. But no. I might do it just for the fun. Again, like I like ridiculous unders mostly in college football, but. Let's bring it to the NBA.
While I have you here, one last thing on the Hawks. Did you see that your former employer, CBS Sportsline, projected the Hawks for 35 victories?
As an atrocious, god-awful number.
Part of the reason
I will bet against anybody over there.
Part of the reason I'm bringing that up is because you work there, and part of the other reason is the fact that because that number exists and I wrote about it, people want to like use that as a baseline. Now it's like, oh well, this said they said 35 wins. I'm like, they sure did.
Here's the thing. Anybody that just has too much money wants to give me some. I'll give you the Hawks over 30. I'll give anybody that.
Are you bookmaking now on the podcast?
I'm bookmaking on the podcast. If anybody wants it. Holler at me. Over 30 wins for the Hawks. Might even give you a plus 120 price.
Oh, wow. I love that. That's generous.
Yeah. I'll give you plus 120 on 30 wins or more.
That's okay. Let's
strongly confident.
That's a good place
strongly
to end
confident.
The pod.
That includes anybody from Sportsline that really wants to put their money where their god awful computer simulation is.
If Stephen O wants to catch these hands, is that what you're saying?
Stephen O, come lose some money to me. 35. Good Lord.
It's a great place to end this podcast.
Here's the thing. 35 is an abject disaster for the Hawks.
Oh, no. That would be a bad result. I mean, I swear we're going to end in a second. The only reason that wouldn't be a disaster is if it was all geared by Trae Young being awesome.
Yeah.
Otherwise, 35 wins is not a good result for the Hawks.
It's pretty bad.
So, there you go. All right, Robbie, we're going to keep talking, you and I, but for purposes of the podcast, we're going to wrap up here for part one. Part two will be the next day, so we're going to post this thing on Tuesday morning for part one, and part two will come the following day. So please subscribe to the podcast, stay tuned for part two, and thanks for joining me, Robbie. We'll do this again very, very shortly.